Let's run. Volume up and get ready. Welcome to my podcast. Usual Friday. Hey, what is up everyone? And it is Talk About It Friday, and tonight we've got a special guest, Brian R. King. Hey Brian, how are you?
Hey, doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
You're absolutely welcome, and you know, thank you for this opportunity to, you know, to interview you. I mean, you're very inspiring, and you know, I've been following you for I think over a year now.
Yeah, that probably sounds about right.
Yeah, so tell everyone a little bit about you.
Well, I'm pretty much a lifelong warrior, and I grew up with undiagnosed ADHD and dyslexia. My graduation present from high school was stage 3 testicular cancer. In the past 5 or 6 years, I've been diagnosed with 2 chronic conditions, one of which is multiple sclerosis. And in the course of managing all that, I'm raising 3 boys, all of whom have ADHD and forms of autism. So what I've pretty much had to become, I don't want to say I've mastered it, because there's always something to learn.
Of course.
But I've really had to focus on is resilience, personal responsibility, resourcefulness, because I live my life knowing that my boys are watching me. They're watching, how do I handle failure? How do I handle all the resistance being created by my health issues? Am I a victim about it? Or am I finding a way to succeed regardless of it? And it's the latter that I want to be able to model for my boys.
Oh, absolutely. I totally understand that. It's like with me as well, with me and my partner, we're doing things like building business and we want to model that to our son as well. So definitely can relate to that. So how are you handling the whole of this with your ADHD, your dyslexia? You know, all of that stuff must like be really frustrating, right?
Well, it can be if I focus on all the problems it causes me. Hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. I have my days where I'm in a funk. I have days where I'm in so much pain. Suicide feels like a good idea. You know, it isn't anything that I will act upon because, again, I'm focusing on the example I'm setting for my kids. So when I get to the point where I feel like, man, I want out, I wish I could just die right now, that's when I start asking for some big time help. Because I know I need to be supported. But on the day-to-day stuff, where it's I get tired sooner than I expected to, my brain's a little bit more scattered, and I just can't seem to do anything to make it work, I always go back to gratitude. What's working? What's working? What's in my life? What's coming my direction? I gotta switch back into abundance, because if I don't keep my mind focused on what's right, what's growing, what's productive, if I don't focus on that stuff, I get sucked into that black hole of self-pity. And I don't want to go there. I do not want to feel sorry for myself. I want to keep in that creation mode as much as I can. Now, I fall off the horse. I'm a human being. But here's the key, and I still struggle with this sometimes. Can you fall off the horse and be compassionate to yourself instead of beating yourself up?
An erotic novel by Kyle Cannon, The Photographer Story, now available on Amazon.
No, I totally understand that. Wow.
That is the thing you need to focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you say suicide, because that is a big word to swallow, isn't it?
Yeah. It's scary when your mind goes there.
Absolutely. So touching on that subject, if you don't mind, I mean, you know, because there's a lot of people that are, you know, in that situation right now that are feeling suicidal because of, you know, maybe, you know, they're suffering with, you know, dyslexia and they feel ashamed of that. I mean, I suffer with dyslexia. So, bro, this is a massive, massive topic that I do really feel that we should get across to our audience. So, talking on the subject of your conditions with, you know, ADHD, dyslexic, and your other condition, I can't pronounce that properly.
Multiple sclerosis.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you feel that is the most biggest problem in your life?
Well, the biggest problem in my life is lack of physical accommodations.
Right.
I mean, there are things that I need, like wheelchair accessible van, a ramp on my house, maybe something to help me get up and down the stairs much more safely. But people with disabilities tend to not have a lot of money, because if you're at the point where you need a lot of accommodations, you're probably not able to work as much as you would like to. So your income is compromised. There are people that I've met that are on the autism spectrum or have ADHD that are so severely impacted that they are underemployed. You know, they could get a lot more supports, but they don't have the income to do it. So there aren't enough institutions or bodies that are helping us close the gap between what we have coming in and what we can reasonably afford.
Yeah, I totally understand.
So, and that's just from the physical standpoint. And I got to say, from the psychological and emotional standpoint, one of my biggest struggles is how pervasive I'm impacted by these things. Because let's say you've got a bum leg. Well, and you're expected to play for the big volleyball game. You really only have to worry about getting through the game. You know, that one aspect of your day. Maybe that's the only thing that aggravates it, is playing volleyball. But then the rest of the time, you're fine. You can walk on it just fine. So the rest of your day isn't too complicated, but volleyball is upset by it. But when you've got a chronic condition, like ADHD, dyslexia, it impacts everything.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can get a break from it. Like, you know, all I need to do is get through this workout or get through this game and I'll be fine. The rest of my day will be hunky-dory. We don't get a break from it.
No, absolutely.
So being able to have some perspective when you're going through it and realizing that this is my journey, this is not personal. This isn't me being set up for failure or being slighted by the universe or the creator. It is a journey that is challenging you in a unique way to come up with unique solutions. In some cases, maybe it seems like you're the first one that's ever come up with it. Because the solutions that work for everybody else that have brains that are not glitchy, those solutions typically don't work for us. Because we have got chasms and craters and rivers and gorges in our neural network that don't exist anywhere else. And when you come across those big chasms and those gaps, you got to find a way around. And, you know, one of my clients calls me the king of the workaround. Because whenever she throws something at me, I can't do this, I can't do that, this is too hard, I immediately come up with a way that she can do it anyway. Because I've had to spend the past 30-some years figuring out workarounds. Because if you don't have the knowledge that these challenges exist, and I imagine it was similar for you unless you were diagnosed as a child, that you know something's not working, but nobody can tell you what it is. And the solutions they're giving you don't work, so you've got to come up with some of your own because you are committed to finding a solution. Wow. And that's why so many of us adults become really, really resourceful and really creative in problem solving because we had to. Not because someone showed up and said, you've got dyslexia, Wayne. Let me help you with some technology and some strategies so that you can work around that comfortably. No, we were kind of left out in nature to fend for ourselves. And now we have this new generation that's coming up with all of this beautiful technology to help them bridge those gaps. And they still stumble over the same self-consciousness, shame, self-criticism that we did as kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because even with this age of information, so many people talking about overcoming stigma, it is still so embedded in our culture that we got to do a lot to dig it out. And I'm confident we can, because that's one of my goals.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I've noticed as well, like, the minute that you said that, is that it was just like, whoa, bro, nail on the head. That you literally just put the nail in the coffin right there. That is absolutely brilliant, you know, because there's a lot of people. I mean, my partner, for instance, as well, is that she's now got a chronic disease where, you know, she's had to have 3 discs, you know, taken out of her back.
Yikes.
You know, and she struggles. She's lost her feeling. She's getting, you know, she suffers with so much pain. She can't get comfortable. She can't do the things that she used to. And she's still learning how to deal with that. And, you know, how many years have you done this?
So much.
Yeah.
Well, I've had the chronic pain started when I was in 7th grade.
Yeah.
So I was about 12, 13 years old, something like that. And that's when the Ehlers-Danlos started. That's one of my conditions. It's affects my joints, my ligaments, my tendons. So my joints are too loose. So I can get exhausted from standing. My ankles and my knees will become weaker when I'm standing because my ligaments start stretching out just because of the weight of my body. Mm. And my joints start to lose their stability. And they will basically say, all right, we're done here. And they'll just give out.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
So I've got to be very, very careful. And my joints hurt all the time because of that. And with the multiple sclerosis, I have a lot of nerve pain. And I also have my legs giving out for that reason. Because the nerve signals getting to my legs are not as good as they used to be.
Yeah, that's the same as my partner.
Yeah, I started feeling those symptoms back in 2011. It started with pins and needles, but nobody caught it until almost 3 years ago.
Wow. So how would you say that? Do you think you're dealing with it a lot better than usual?
I wouldn't say better than usual. I'd say better than most people.
Hmm.
Because I had cancer when I was 18.
Ouch.
And I emerged from that experience angry, bitter, you know, questioning reality and religion and everything that was ever taught me. Because so many of those rules went out the window. And what I finally concluded when I was at the end of all that is that I can't live this way, being miserable and depressed and anxious. And this is where the ADHD all or nothing thinking came in handy. Well, if I don't like feeling like this, what's the opposite? The opposite is empowered, self-determined, no blaming, taking responsibility for my life, and creating the life I want to have. And so for the past 30 years, I've been trying to figure out exactly how to do that. And there are new things to learn every day. And as you know from my profile, I learn something, I turn right back around and I share it.
Yeah.
All of us can grow.
Do you know how inspirational you are to a lot of people right now?
I just want a better life. I want a better life for me and my kids.
Mm.
And because we're all human beings, we have so many of the same wants and needs that why not invite other people to come along?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, so what is it that you're actually doing in terms of helping people? Because I see it, but, you know, our audience don't.
I spend a lot of time working with two groups of people. I work with parents that are raising kids with either Asperger's, if you're familiar with that term, or ADHD. And there are so many things that happen, from relationships to academic strategies to mindset. I focus a lot on mindset, which is, how does this child believe about themselves? What do they believe about their place in the world? Are they good enough? How do they see themselves in relationship to others? Do they see themselves as part of something bigger? Do they see themselves as mattering at all? Because if all that stuff's not in alignment, you can sit your child down and say, okay, Johnny, I've got some strategies for you so you can do better at math. What good are any of those strategies if your kid feels like they're stupid?
That is true.
So you've got to get the mindset right. So my motto is mindset before skill set.
Wow.
Don't teach them any skills until you've gotten their belief system empowered. So that's where I start with their thinking. Then I teach them the skills. And the other group of people I work with are adults with chronic illnesses or ADHD that want to start their own business, but still take care of themselves because of the unique needs that come along with their disability. And I teach them how to do that because I've had to do it.
So is it like a course kind of thing?
It's not a course so much because everybody's situation is so different. What it is, it's a group coaching program where people have an online community. They have lessons that I share. They can talk to one another and network and support one another. And then they have the group meetings with me where we can talk for a couple hours and work together to solve the burning problems that each person is having.
Yeah. Hmm. I totally understand where you're coming from there. I mean, you know, obviously there is a lot of kids out there that would benefit from this.
Yeah.
Is it something that you do offline, or is this just all based online?
It's all online. I use video conferencing that's secure so that we have the privacy, as much privacy as you can have in this digital age. You know, people can't just pop in on the call and take a listen.
No, right.
confidentiality is the number one priority. And the community of people that have come together, it's so beautiful to watch them grow and be vulnerable and support one another and become almost like a family. I mean, there's nothing like it.
No, absolutely. So I noticed that you was at university and you studied social work.
Right. I got my master's in social work.
Oh, awesome. So does that in line with what you do?
It's tremendously in line with it, because one of the big focuses of social work is to help make sure a person is supported by the community in which they live.
Yeah.
And one of the difficulties with people on the spectrum or with ADHD is they're, because of that shame and that self-consciousness, there tends to be a lot of self-isolation.
Absolutely.
You know, they don't reach out to people because they're afraid of looking dumb. Hmm. Well, what I do on Facebook and other platforms is I create conversations where people can come together and feel supported, not judged. And that tends to be one of the first steps to helping people realize that, hey, it can be better. It doesn't have to be the way I'm imagining it. I can be safe in seeking help for my difficulties.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. So I've noticed that you've got a YouTube channel. I haven't checked it out myself. Is that something that is involved in what you do as well?
Oh yeah, the YouTube channel is loaded with videos where I give little tutorials about ADHD, Asperger's, parenting, relationships. I have videos on there that are some of the presentations I've given.
Hmm.
I try to be pretty generous that way because I won't be able to help everybody.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Not one-to-one like you and I are talking right now, but if people can be helped by the stuff I put out there, well, yeah, then I'm going to put a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you do that. I mean, I was going to ask as well, I mean, is this like a paid service or is this just totally,
oh,
you know, voluntary?
Yeah, I've been self-employed full-time for the past 12 years.
Wow.
This is what I've been doing.
Wow, man, congratulations to that. 12 years is a long time, and you know, for what you're going through as well. And in a way, I mean, there's probably like some people out there that would say, oh no, I don't believe in, you know, charging people for that. But however, I mean, you know, you've been there, you're still there, and you're encouraging and helping people as well. So, you know, my hat goes off to you, man.
Well, people that don't believe in charging for it don't understand their own value, first of all.
That's true.
And they also don't realize that if you don't charge somebody and you just swoop in and help, that tends to be a short-term help,
yeah,
instead of something long-term. It also, it doubts their ability to raise their own standards and step up. Yeah. You know, if somebody is struggling and you say, oh, poor little you, I see you can't afford it, I'm going to rescue you, that reinforces to them that they're helpless and they can't make their situation better. One thing I've learned over the years is how critical it is that a person discover as quickly as possible that their action still creates results.
Hmm.
And one of the first things you can give them is the challenge of coming up with the money to work with you.
Absolutely. If it's okay to ask, how much do you charge? Or is that something?
I like to save that conversation for the people that I've been, because some people can get turned off by just the number.
Hmm.
But once they talk to me and realize, man, this guy is going to deliver on that number.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden they start asking themselves, how can I get this? How can I get this for myself? And they are often very surprised at how resourceful they can be coming up with what they need when they need it bad enough.
Yeah, absolutely. That is absolutely incredible. There is one last question that I wanted to ask you. Okay. And that is, have you wrote a book?
I've written 5 books.
Whoa. That's incredible. Do you want to talk about them?
Well, they're one of them. My first book was about my cancer experience. And that whole transition between being angry and anxious and not trusting to being much more solution focused, I map out that entire process in the book. And I give people a very intimate look in to my experience of discovering the cancer, the surgery, the chemotherapy. It really goes deep. You know, people that have read it say they feel like they were right there with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's pretty immersive writing. And you're going to love the title of this one, Wayne. Fun. The title of that book is What to Do When You're Totally Screwed. Because it's about you feel hopeless. You feel hopeless and helpless. Where do you go from there?
Absolutely.
And I explain how to go, where to go from there.
Wow.
And the other books are my explorations into the experience of being on the autism spectrum, my reflections on relationships. And my most successful book is one on how to raise kids on the autism spectrum. I had a big argument with the author over this title. I don't like it. But the subtitle is Let's Relate.
Okay.
So if you go to Amazon and you Google Let's Relate and then you see my name, Brian R. King, that's the book.
All right. So is that someone that's already written it, or is that you that's written it?
I wrote it.
Oh, okay. All right.
And all my books are available on Amazon. So if you search my name, you'll find them all.
All right. Awesome. So it's just Brian R. Brian R. Knight.
Brian R. King.
Oh, sorry. There's another guy on my Facebook. He's got the same name as you, but he's got, you take the W out. There you go.
I'm friends with two other Brian Kings.
Yeah, that's it.
But they've got different spellings of their first name. So I realize they haven't gone through some parallel universe or wormhole and came across myself, you know?
Oh, no. I just get confused easily, I suppose.
Oh, then you are one of the family.
I like that. So how long did it actually take you to write these books in?
Some came really, really quickly because I already had the material.
Mm.
It just needed to be organized. But the ones that really just came from scratch, if I really dug in and spent a lot of time doing it, maybe 9 months to a year.
Wow. Wow. I was not expecting that, honestly.
Well, it certainly takes longer than a weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, to be honest with you as well, is that I write fiction books, and I think it's a different ball game when it comes to writing real stories.
Yeah, writing fiction versus nonfiction is a very different process.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, how long does it take you to write your fiction?
With my dyslexia, and I'd probably say about 5 months.
Well, then.
Yeah.
I might want to study that process a little more closely then.
Yeah, it can take longer.
But nowadays, one thing that's absolutely fantastic with the technology that Amazon's coming up with, you know, print on demand and self-publishing, books don't have to be that long anymore.
No, I know.
You know, so many people are publishing digitally. If you don't have 150 pages worth of information, okay, so write 50 solid pages that knock people's socks off and start circulating it.
Do you know what? I was thinking about that, because even though I do like, you know, I love my paperbacks, you know, they're brilliant, lovely covers, but something's telling me that I would rather go down the route of ebooks.
Well, let me tell you, I've got like 25 books on my phone right now.
Hmm.
And when you're talking about somebody that is a little bit scatterbrained, there's a tendency to start several books and to kind of go back and forth to different books and read a little bit more here or there, depending on your mood.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't get terribly bored with one book and then put it down and forget that it even exists. So there are a lot of ways that the digital technology is very friendly to the scatterbrain.
Yeah.
And you can download new books on the fly. Somebody recommends a good book, you download it right away, and you can start listening to it on the way home.
That is absolutely true.
Audiobooks, love them.
Yeah, I'm going to be going into the audiobook section very soon, actually.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
That is cool. That is cool. Do you do the audiobooks yourself, or does someone do that?
Well, I haven't done any audiobooks for my books yet.
Okay.
Because with the exception of one book, the rest of them are self-published. And it's one heck of an outlay of cash, because you got to get a studio, you need an engineer to do all the sound mixing and get rid of all of the background, you know, little whistles and hisses and everything. And I'm just not rolling on that kind of dough.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
I totally understand that. So honestly, you know, again, man, thank you ever so much for giving this opportunity for you to come onto the show, tell your story. And I'm telling you something, you're definitely going to inspire a lot of people out there.
Well, I hope a lot of people get helped.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. So is there anything lastly you want to say?
Well, if you want to learn more about what I do, and most importantly, get on my newsletter list so that I can support you better, then just go to my website, which is my name, BrianRaymondKing.com.
That's absolutely awesome. And again, guys, all of his links are going to be in the description as well. Don't forget to subscribe to Talk About It Friday on our website as well, which is www.wayneclark.online. And again, follow this guy because, you know, you've heard his story. He's got something to offer. He's going to inspire a lot of people out there as well. So thank you ever so much, Brian.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Wayne. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You take care now.
To you as well.
Talk About It Friday.